Reading from 1 Kings chapter 2, the verses 1 through to 4. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. We consider today David's final charge to Solomon, as it is contained in these words that we've just read from verses 2 to 4. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. As one reads this, one is struck by something. It is David's knowledge of Scripture. David doesn't draw this charge to Solomon out of a vacuum. It comes out of a Scripture-saturated heart. David has the Bible before him. It may actually be deposited on shelves and tables in his death chamber. The Scriptures are certainly written on the tables of his heart. And in verse 3, he actually refers to the text, as it is written in the law of Moses. He knows about the written word. He possesses the written Scriptures. This clearly implies David has the text, and that Solomon, his son, will have access to the text as well. David is probably leaving his son his copies of God's word. Did David have copies of Scripture, you ask? Of course he did. He could not have penned those Psalms which tell of his love for God's word if he didn't have God's word. How could he write Psalm 1, for example, if he had no Bible? What does the blessed man do in Psalm 1? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so the righteous man is as one planted by the rivers of water, so he has access to the Scriptures. He has copies of the word of God. How could David write things like the following if the only copy of the Bible was locked up in the Ark of the Covenant? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, he says, that I might not sin against thee. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Take Psalm 119, as we've been reading these quotes from. This is all about the Scriptures, all about the Torah, the word of God. So here certainly is a man who has the word of God at his hand, who, as it were, muses over the text, who meditates upon it all the time, who looks upon it as his daily bread. He said in Psalm 119, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why is this? For thy testimonies are my meditation. So yes, David had a Bible. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. And this could not be so without a deep devotion to the Scriptures. One passage that King David must have had a great interest in was Deuteronomy chapter 17. It's the chapter about Israel's king. And David was chosen king by God. You remember how it came about? The Lord spoke to Samuel. Samuel was mourning for Saul. But the Lord had told him that he had rejected Saul from reigning over Israel. He says, fill thine horn with oil and go. Go to Jesse the Bethlehemite I've got me a king among his sons. Samuel obeyed, and Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And what does Samuel have to say to Jesse? The Lord have not chosen any of these. And he asked him, have you any other children? And Jesse had to tell him there was one who was the youngest. He was keeping the sheep. Go and get him. And he was brought in. And the Lord spoke to Samuel. Arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil, and this young man was anointed in the midst of all his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him that day, and forward he continued to be with them. And that same Spirit who anointed David to be king and set him apart for the royal office, that same Spirit must have turned David to his word, and especially to Deuteronomy chapter 17. In that chapter, we have the instructions of God concerning the day when a king would be in Israel. In that chapter, we read in verse 14, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. And David must have had a great interest in this passage. He was anointed among his brothers. He was anointed by God's prophet, and the Spirit of the Lord came into his life. David knew this, and he was familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 17. And amongst the many commands there, there was one that when he sat upon his throne, he shall write him a copy of the law of Moses in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. In other words, the king was to have his own personal copy of the scriptures. He was to copy the Torah. And verse 19 says, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. So David was to write out the copy of scripture, the 5 books. It was to be with him. It was to be habitually studied by him. He was to observe all the words. He was to keep the commandments. It was to be in his heart. And now, as David is on his deathbed, he's pointing Solomon to the same volume of the book, to the law of Moses, and to the word of God. So we have in this death chamber a dying man, steeped in scripture, in the presence of scripture, and a dying man who wants his son to be steeped in scripture also, and to be familiar with the same text of God's word, and to obey it and make it the rule and guide of his life. The centrality of the scriptures with David, and he wants Solomon to have that too in his life. It's good to know the Bible. It's good to be able to draw from the Bible. It's especially good to be able to do so on one's deathbed. That's what's happening here. The thing that David particularly has been meditating upon latterly, before he charges Solomon here with this final charge, he has been meditating and thinking about something. And that's evident from his words. Clearly, David has been thinking about the death of Moses and the new role of leadership that was handed over to Joshua and the charge that Joshua received at that time. Now, that was over 500 years previous. But David has it in his Bible, as do we. The charge that he gives to Solomon is similar to the charge that was given to Joshua. So it seems to me that not only did David have the writings of Moses, but he also had the book of Joshua. That expression, for example, in verse 2, I go the way of all the earth, that was first used by Joshua at the end of his life. As he's coming to the end of his life, he said something similar. Joshua 23, verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing have failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. And there was Joshua at the end of his life, reminding Israel how good God had been, how faithful he'd been to the promises. And he was bringing this charge to them, this reminder to them, this solemn word as he dies. And he commences it, I go the way of all the earth. And here's David doing the same thing. He's familiar with the end of Joshua. He's also familiar with the end of Moses and the charge to the young man Joshua, just setting out on his leadership role over Israel. And that's particularly uppermost in his mind. He's thinking about that charge that young Joshua received. He's been meditating on Deuteronomy chapter 31 and on Joshua chapter 1. He's saturated with scripture. Joshua actually received two charges. One from Moses just before his death, Deuteronomy 31, and then this one from the Lord shortly after Moses died, Joshua chapter 1. If I read the charge in Joshua chapter 1, you'll see the similarities. And it's out of Joshua chapter 1 that David's charge comes from. He's thinking of that great scene, God charging the new leader. And David wants to give the same solemn charge to the new king, just as he's about to die and leave this world. And in Joshua 1, God spoke to Joshua. Verse 2, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. And then verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then verse 7, only be thou strong, and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You see, it's present there whenever God speaks to Joshua. Joshua has the book. And God, as it were, puts his hand upon it and kind of says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And now David, he's about to die, and soon God's servant will be in the grave, and David will be dead, and his son Solomon must lead God's flock. And David wants to convey a similar charge to him. And Solomon must sense this. He must feel he is the new Joshua. And in the text, the key expression is at the commencement of verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. How blessed it is to be meditating upon God's word and to know it and to love it and to be able to draw from it. And to be able to encourage and exhort others by means of it. And that's what David is doing now. So there is very prominent the centrality of scripture here in this deathbed chamber. Keep the charge. What it is that is to be kept. And then secondly, the spirit with which it ought to be kept. And then thirdly, the reason why this charge should be kept. So those three things. First of all, what it is that is to be kept. The charge. Keep the charge. It's not any old charge. But you'll notice it is the charge of the Lord. It's the Lord's charge that we are to keep. But to do that, one must first be in a relationship with the Lord. Notice what David says, keep the charge of the Lord thy God. He must be the Lord your God. A man can't keep the charge who doesn't know the Lord. He will not want to. He will have no interest in the charge. A man will only have an interest in the Lord's charge if the Lord is his God, if he knows the Lord and he loves the Lord. A man won't keep the gospel unless he loves the Saviour. A man won't keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus unless he knows the Saviour personally, unless he has an interest in Christ. It's because he knows the Lord Jesus and has experienced his grace and his mercy that his commandments have any meaning. If you love me, keep my commandments. The Lord knows that those who have no love for him will have no interest in keeping the commandments. So a man must first know the Lord and have a relationship with him. This is a very personal relationship. The Lord thy God is a covenantal relationship. Whenever a man becomes a Christian, he enters into a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He receives the Saviour. He receives the promises. He trusts in the blood. And he receives the seal and signs of the covenantal relationship in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. And it's a relationship of faith and trust. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. And it's a permanent relationship. This God is our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And David hears on his deathbed, the Lord has guided him all his day. And David has sought to keep the charge of the law all his day. He's walked in God's commandments. He's loved God's statutes. He's followed in the ways of the Lord up until his deathbed. And now he hands the baton over to Solomon, his son. It's a charge of the God who is the God of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ in whom we believe and trust, the crown jewels of his gospel and his holy word. That's what we want to keep. And if the Lord is your Lord, he calls you to the same charge, to keep his ways, his commandments. Now Solomon as king has a special charge. The reference may be to Deuteronomy 17 and that charge to the king that we just read there earlier. And there the charge centers around the word. Yes, he's not to multiply horses. He's not to multiply wives to himself because they'll turn his heart away. This is part of the charge of the new king. I hand to you Deuteronomy 17. David is saying, and all the book of Deuteronomy and all the writings of the law of Moses, I hand them over to you. You're to keep them. This is the charge. Your reign is to be a reign that is scripturally based. And the charge centers around the scriptures. As we've seen, he's to write a copy of the book. He's to read in it every day. He's to learn God's fear from that book. He's to keep all the words, all the statutes in that book, to do them. He's to walk humbly. He's not to turn to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. And David actually defends the charge in the words following in verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. That's the charge. And where is all this found? How do we know God's ways? How do we know what God's commandments are? How do we know God's testimonies and his statutes? How do we know what to do? How do we know whether to go this way or that way? How do we know the right path? And David says, it's written. It's in the text. It's in the law of Moses. Keep it. Keep the scriptures. And Joshua received a similar charge as we saw. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That was a charge to Joshua. Keep the charge. Observe the scriptures. And now David gives Solomon the very same. Now David didn't only charge Solomon this thing. I want you to know also that he prayed for it. He prayed for his son. Now we don't read about it here in 1 Kings. But we do read about it in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29 and verse 19. Give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, to build the palace for the which I have made provision. So David's praying as well for his son. He's prayed that the Lord will give him this heart. Because unless you're given the heart, you'll not want to keep the commandments. You'll not want to keep the statutes and the judgments. A man won't want to walk in the ways of the Lord until he's been given a new heart, a clean heart. And that's what David prays for Solomon. Give him the heart, Lord, to want to do these things. Give him the desire. And so he's praying this as well. And we should have a concern that our children will keep the ways of the Lord. And we should charge them at times, solemn times especially on our deathbed. Leave them that solemn reminder to keep the ways of the Lord. But we don't just charge them. You have to pray for them as well. You have to pray the Lord will give them a new heart, that they'll be born again, that they'll have the Spirit of the Lord in their lives. And so David charged and prayed that it might be so with Solomon. I want you to notice, secondly, not only the charge that was given to Solomon, but I want you to notice also the spirit with which this charge ought to be kept. He says, I go the way of all the earth, verse 2, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge. So those words, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man, they indicate the kind of attitude, the kind of heart and spirit with which Solomon ought to do this. Be strong to keep the charge. Show yourself a man in doing this business. Now we're not sure how old Solomon was when he received this charge. We know that he reigned for 40 years, but we're not sure what age he commenced his reign. Some say he was about 18. In the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 7, we read there that Solomon said, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Now here's Solomon, it's just after the death of his father. He's praying to the Lord. He's reminding the Lord that he's just a little child. He doesn't know much. Hardly knows how to come in or to go out. Now this is very humble of Solomon to say something like this. What are we to make of this expression, a little child? Well, the word child can mean anything from a baby up to a youth in late teens. The adjective little, it may just mean a youth of small weight among the aged and experienced counsellors. So David here, he's among all the aged counsellors. David's counsellors, there's old men all about the palace, and he's just the young fella now come to the throne. So it doesn't necessarily mean he's just a tiny little boy or a lad. I don't think it means necessarily that he's small in age or years. He is probably a teenager, possibly in his latter teens. But he feels that he's inexperienced, he feels humble, and he feels that he's so young. He uses this expression. So he is younger, he's tender in years. Not only does Solomon feel that, but as David's dying on his deathbed and looks into the youthful face of his son, David feels that too. He feels his youth. He feels how weak he is, how vulnerable he must be. David perceives this, and he perceives the dangers that the youth experience and meet in life. He was a youth himself. He went through all the trials of being a young man, and he knows it's not easy to take up leadership as a young man. So he perceives the dangers to Solomon, even if Solomon doesn't see them himself. And it's not easy to keep the charge. We're weak and feeble. We're poor and needy. The enemy is strong, too strong for us, as is the flesh, as is Satan. David knows all of this, and he knows all of this by experience. He knows that Solomon is going to be opposed. He knows that there's going to be problems during his reign. He knows this, and David feels this. And he says, I go the way of all the earth. I'm going away. He's not going to be able to look after Solomon. He's not going to be able to give him the counsel and the guidance. Now, young people especially cannot always be under the wings of their parents. The Christian home is great. It's a good start to life. And let all thank God who have a Christian home. But there comes a time when the young Christian has to step out into the world, step out there into that domain of the world and the devil. Has to go outside, as it were, the confines of the Christian home. Solomon was fine when it was David doing, as it were, keeping the charge. But no more David. And Solomon has to learn to stand. And so he gives this exhortation. Be strong. Show thyself a man. And as I said, Joshua was repeatedly given the same command. Deuteronomy 31 verse 7. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Deuteronomy 31 verse 23. He gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage. And in Joshua chapter 1, the expression be strong occurs about four times. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 9, and again at the end of verse 18, only be strong and of a good courage. So here's God four times saying to Joshua, you have to be strong, you have to be courageous, you have to show yourself a man. That's what it means to be courageous, to show yourself a man. And here David, he's taking this very theme up. He's looking into the face of his son and he's breathing out his last breath and he's saying, Solomon, you have to be strong. You have to show yourself a man. You have to be courageous as you go out there to take up the charge of the Lord. You know, and young Christians who maybe have to leave the Christian home and they're stepping out into a new career, maybe stepping out into university and going far from the home, or maybe they're stepping out into a new work and they're leaving the home and they have to go and live in their own home or a flat or whatever, and they're away from the shelter of the Christian parents. And it's a stepping out and they're going to have to be strong and show themselves courageous. And young Christians are going to have to write this verse upon their hearts as they are exposed to new trials and new temptations without the shelter of the Christian home. Or maybe you take up a new post, a new job, you go to a new place in the office. And what is a Christian going to have to do? He's going to have to be strong. He's going to have to be courageous. He's going to have to show himself a man and stand up for the Lord and stand up for the word of God and continue to keep the commandments in that difficult environment. It's not easy. It's hard. David feels this so much. And we have similar exhortations to Christians in the New Testament. Ephesians 6 verse 10, you remember the Christian armour? Paul tells the believer about the Christian armour. But what does he say there? My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And when he exhorted Timothy in his last epistle, Paul is going to die soon and he has Timothy in mind, his young son in the faith. And what does he say? My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You're going to have a battle. You're going to face so much. It's going to be difficult. You're not going to have me as your counselor and help and your guide. So you're going to have to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the first epistle to the Corinthians, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong. So, child of God, you have to be strong. You have to be courageous. Whenever the temptation is placed before you, whenever the workmates say, here, come on, we'll go down here to the pub and we'll have a good time. Or come here to the party with us and we'll have a good time. Or, you know, you have to do that. You have to write that down and change those books and, you, as it were, falsify those statements. What are you going to do? How are you going to cope? How are you going to face it? You have to be strong. You have to be courageous. You have to show yourself a man in these things. So what it is that is to be kept, the charge of the Lord, the spirit with which it ought to be kept, and then lastly, the reason the charge of the Lord should be kept. David gives the reason to Solomon. Keep the charge. He defines what that is, and then he adds at the end of verse 3, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. David is saying, Solomon, if you just keep the charge, you'll prosper in all that you do. You'll be a doer. You'll be doing the commandments. You'll be doing the will of God. And as king over Israel, you're going to have to do many things. You're going to have to make many important decisions. How are you going to make the right decisions? If you keep the charge and do God's word and have the scriptures before you all the time, you'll prosper, you'll have wisdom. You'll know how to make the right decisions. By obeying God's word, you'll bring the nation in the right path and you'll prosper. Wherever you turn your hand, you'll have good success. It's similar to the promise in Psalm 1. He meditates therein day and night. It's like a tree planted by the river of water. It brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf doesn't wither. Whatsoever he does, he prospers. And so there'll be this success, a successful issue to all that he puts his hand to. He'll have a great reward. In this life, also, you'll see the blessing, you'll see the benefits. But in the life to come, there'll be the great reward for having kept the charge of God, for having been a faithful servant, for having finished the course, for having kept the faith, kept the charge. A great reward laid up for you in heaven. And then there is the Lord's promise will continue to you. The Lord promised me one day, he says, if you're obedient, if you keep the charge, you'll have a son on the throne. And if he keeps the charge as well, he'll have a son on the throne after him, and it'll continue on. It'll be a perpetual reign. There'll be the promises of God going on for generations to generations. If you keep the charge, Solomon, it'll affect future generations. It'll affect your children and their children, and the Lord will bless your family, your seed. So you see how important it is to keep the charge of the Lord, to be faithful. We're blessed in ourselves, but the blessing flows on to the descendants. And God's kingdom is expanded through the obedience of God's people. And so that's what is required of every Christian. It may be true that we're not going to take up a position such as Solomon's going to take up. But in our different callings, in our different fields and avenues, as a mother, as a father, as a worker in the shop place, the workplace, as a minister, as a Sabbath school teacher, as one carrying out a role of leadership in the work of God, this same requirement is upon you all. To be strong, to be courageous, to keep the Lord's charge, to be walking in his commandments, to be saturated with scripture, to be imbibing the word of God and obeying it, living the book, and not turning to the right hand or to the left hand, and in obeying God, finding he blesses us and prospers us and encourages us. Oh, may the Lord give unto all his people a perfect heart, a heart to keep the charge of the Lord.